Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44, heeding Christ on the true versus false commitment to God's service. Mark's gospel was written by John Mark, who was rebounding from having abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts 13:13. And that due to Mark's lapse in following Christ because of some difficulty. That failure mirrored a false versus a true commitment to God's work. For had he been truly committed, John Mark would have continued faithfully serving the Lord versus quitting because of some difficulty. Mark 12, 38 to 44 offers a study in the sharp contrast between a false and a true commitment to the Lord's work, and we view it for our insight and edification as follows. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark 12, 38 through 44. And Jesus said unto them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater condemnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which had cast into the treasury. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." It's interesting that Mark chapter 12, 38 to 40 presents Jesus' condemnation of the scribes' false commitment to God's service. And then in verses 41 to 44 presents Jesus' commendation of the widow's true commitment to God's service. There's a contrast between the scribes and this widow. I'd never seen this before. I'd often viewed the widow's mite as something by itself, but it's meant to be put in a contrast to something else. She's being contrasted with the scribes. Very interesting. The role of the scribes, much as the priests, was to study God's word so as to teach its truths to Israel, that the people might know the Lord and obey his will for service. Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 to 7 says, "And you shall know that I sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts." The Levi, speaking of the tribe of Levi and the priests, "My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did not and turn away many from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, that they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." It's interesting. And the scribes, not all of the scribes were necessarily of the tribe of Levi, but they were experts in the law. And they interpreted it so that people would understand how to live and how to relate to God. So they played an important role. However, many of the scribes were proud and self-serving. They walked about in flowing robes with fringes to impress onlookers. They loved to be greeted as rabbi or teacher or master or father by the people. And they coveted the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. In other words, they liked to be with people that made them look big and great and important. Believe it or not, there's this problem in Christian circles today. Dr. Howard Hendricks, one of the profs I had at seminary, said that there are a lot of prima donnas in the ministry. It's true. They always want the attention. And unfortunately, that's still with us. Now, the scribes were also greedy for gain. In Jesus' day, they were not paid for their servicenesses, according to the Hebrew Mishnah, both 1:13 and Bechoroth in 4:6, but they depended on the hospitality of devout Jews. However, they exploited the generosity of poor donors and unethically appropriated people's property. They would use the law as a vehicle in courts of law in order to take advantage of widows and so forth so that they could confiscate the properties from the widows. And the widows, of course, would be left with nothing. But they would use that so they could have the property. These men were greedy, and they were wicked. The scribes also hypocritically made really long prayers to impress people. And they would pray in public in the public squares, and they would say these prayers. And that was really something that bothered the Lord. And for such sins, the scribes would receive God's greater condemnation. But in Mark 12, 41 to 44, we see Jesus' commendation for the widow's true commitment to God's service. After severely condemning the scribes, Jesus entered the court of the women in the temple. And against the wall in this court were 13 trumpet-shaped collection receptacles for receiving worshipers' freewill offerings and contributions, according to the Hebrew Mishnah, that's in Shekalim. And these trumpets, apparently, with boxes, they were attached to colonnades. You on the outside of the court, you had a series of colonnades that were roofed, and the inside columns had these receptacles hooked onto them. And there were offering boxes. At the top of the boxes were these funnels, great big metal funnels. And if you put your coins in them, of course, it would make noise. So the rich would convert their coins, their money, to small coins to be impressive. And they take this bag and they pour it down here and pour it slowly so everybody would be impressed with this huge racket that occurred with all this that went down here. Of course, you could see opposite the widow's two little mites. Bleep, bleep. That's it. So this was quite a show, and the rich loved to parade their godliness, their alleged godliness, by pouring all this money. Of course, they were fabulously wealthy, and a lot of these rich, especially the scribes, gained their wealth by taking the property that belonged to widows. So this is, the whole thing was repugnant to God. Very interesting. Well, sitting opposite, and the Greek word is katananti, or across the way from one receptacle was Jesus. Now, let me give you a picture. You've got this. You have a courtyard, and outside the courtyard, you have this colonnade area. It's a roofed-in area that borders this. On the inside columns, you have 13 of these columns have these receptacles attached to them. Jesus was sitting across from one of these. He was on the other side of the hallway, about 20, 25 feet away, and they had seats back there out of stone, and you could sit there if people wanted to sit on the outside perimeter. And he parked himself about 25 feet away to watch. And the implication was he wanted to watch people from a distance so they wouldn't be affected by him. He just wanted to see people in their genuine, real activity. So sitting opposite, katananti, or across the way from one receptacle to watch how people gave, Jesus saw the rich casting in many clanking coins and pressing the bystanders. However, then a poor widow came and threw in two lepta. The lepta is the smallest of bronze coins, and one lepta totaled in value 1/64 of the Roman denarius coin, and that was the wage of a day laborer. I figured it out. If a day laborer were to earn $200, which would be a fairly fair price for a day laborer today, this woman cast in like $3.13. Okay? It's not much. In fact, I don't think you can actually buy a meal at George's restaurant for that. You might be able to get maybe a couple pieces of fruit or something, but that was essentially it. So it's very different. Jesus then called his disciples to him and announced that in God's eyes, this poor widow had given more than all the others who had deposited their money, for she had cast in all that she had, her entire livelihood, while the others had given out of their abundance. So in verse 43, I say unto you, truly I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in more than all they which cast into their treasury, for all they did cast into their abundance. But she of her want, of her poverty, did cast in all that she had, even all her livelihood. Now, in view of Jesus' words in the context of the cultural context, the context of what we've just been talking about with the scribes, the contrast between the widow and the scribes is huge. First of all, opposite the proud scribes who sought to exalt their fame before others, this widow humbly risked public embarrassment or even ridicule by depositing in a few very small coins in front of onlookers in the temple. Now keep in mind, public humiliation in our country is not as severe a thing, not nearly as severe a thing as it is in an Oriental culture. If you get publicly humiliated today, often people will kind of make light of it and laugh to make you feel better. That's part of our culture. In the Mideast or in the Orient today, if a person is publicly humiliated, it's like death. It's very severe. So for this woman to come up, as poor as she was, and cast in only two mites after all these rich people had been pouring in tons and tons of money, would have been very humiliating, and in view of other people who were looking on, would have been difficult. So this is a hardship. And this demonstrates to us this woman was really dedicated to the Lord, because this is all that she had. And even though it would be an embarrassment to cast in just that, since it was all that she had, she was dedicated to the Lord. She was putting her relationship to God above even public embarrassment. That's a huge step in the culture. Second, versus the greedy scribes who took financial advantage of others for gain, including widows, this widow gave of her last means of her livelihood. She gave with liberality. You'll notice she gave, those two lepta were all that she had. She didn't keep one, which would have been at least maybe $1.60 or $1.55. She cast in both of them. It's all that she had. That's giving with liberality. Of course, she was reasoning, you know, what difference does it make? I'm going to have to trust the Lord for my next meal anyway. It's down to that low a level. I heard one time of a man who had gone bankrupt, and he was in a church. He had a dollar in his pocket. 10 dimes, I think, is what he had in his pocket. And his wife said, you're going to have to start giving to the Lord. He says, what? We don't have any money. I have a total of, you know, 10 dimes in my pocket. She said, you need to start giving to the Lord. So he pulled a dime out and put it in the offering plate. And from that point on, his fortune turned around. He got his business back. But from then on, he started giving. And he's never stopped giving. And that's been a testimony of the Lord's faithfulness in providing for him. But this woman gave with liberality. And then in contrast to the scribes and the rich contributors who hypocritically, publicly tried to impress onlookers, this widow honestly did not try to impress others, but dropped in two little coins that made little clinking sounds. There's no pride there. None. And then opposite, the scribes who failed to live by faith in unjustly taking advantage of others for their income, this widow trusted God for her very next meal as she was giving the last of her money to the Lord. See, she didn't know what she was going to live on. She didn't know what she was going to eat when she left. She walked out of that temple trusting God was going to provide the next meal. That's great, great faith. And then versus the scribes who lived in ease, this widow endured hardship to serve the Lord. Regardless what trials had led to her poverty, she courageously had come to the temple to give of her last coins to the Lord. She didn't let what misfortune had created a problem for her, or what injustice had created a problem which produces poverty. It might have been one of these scribes had been the man who had taken the property from her. We don't know. But she did not let that keep her. She didn't let that make her bitter against God. She was going to be devoted to the Lord until she starved to death, unless the Lord provided. This is faith. So Jesus' contrast of the scribes' false service with the widow's true service reveals that true commitment to God's service involves humility, not pride, liberality, not greed, honesty, not hypocrisy, living by faith, not manipulating for a livelihood, shouldering hardship to heed God, not opting for ease to disobey him. So may we serve God the way the poor widow did versus the way the scribes did, and so gain his reward. Many years ago, there was an article that was in, it might have been Moody Monthly Magazine, I'm not sure where it was, or it might have been in another Christian magazine, I know I read it, about a man who wrote what the middle widow's mite would have achieved. Let's say it was put aside for writing something for to paying for the salary of a scribe. And so it would have been enough money, the two mites would have been enough for him to have written one of the verses of Isaiah 53. which he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and so forth. And it might have been, or she might, it might have been the scribe who wrote in the particular, another particular passage of scripture, maybe Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until they make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. But it would have been a verse, it could have been a verse that was very, very important and has affected the lives of other people. You never know what the Lord's going to do with that. And I would imagine this widow, someday we're going to probably see her in glory, I'm sure we are, and the Lord's going to point her out. And everybody's going to say, oh, you're the lady Jesus is talking about. And she's going to be floored. The two little mites that she cast in, and it's gone all over the world. See, you never know. So there's value in serving the Lord. And so we need to serve him, and we need to have a true commitment to him and do it from the heart, no matter what we face around us, the hardship or whatnot, and do it humbly and honestly, trusting the Lord, living by faith, and God will bless.